Hello Europe, hello world! Join our club and have a ball as we get ready for the European Championships of Rhythmic Gymnastics. Find out how Spain's M team lived their acro dream and hear from the Portuguese man who didn't crumble or stumble when it was his turn to tumble. All of that and more on this month's European Gymnastics podcast. Welcome and hello to you, listener. Spring is here, and so is Blythe Lawrence. Both of them things that only bring joy to gymnastics fans. Blythe, aww. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's a very exciting time in the European gymnastics realm.
It is, isn't it? And it's spring, and I love spring. You love spring as well, don't you?
I adore spring. It is the season of possibility. That's why I love it. Why do you love it?
That's very well put. Season of possibility. Yeah, I love spring. I'm a gardener and I just love the time when everything starts to grow. My wisteria has been blooming. Roses are starting to come through and I love it. And I also love this time of year when you can stroll around European cities in the spring. I know you're a big city person. I'm more of a countryside person. That's your thing, isn't it? You love big European cities in the spring.
There's so much to explore. I do love them.
And one of those big European cities is going to be at the forefront of our minds when we go to Varna for the European Championships of Rhythmic Gymnastics in a matter of days.
The gorgeous Black Sea coast beckons. It's one of Europe's great beach towns, but it's also a place where they take rhythmic gymnastics very seriously.
Welcome to everyone who's new to the podcast, by the way. Great to have you here, and welcome back everyone who has been listening right the way from the start. So what's coming up today? More on the Rhythmic Gymnastics European Championships, as I said, in a bit. We've got a couple of fantastic interviews coming up centred around acrobatic gymnastics and tumbling. But first, Blythe Lawrence, the news. And we're going to play a famous piece of rhythmic gymnastics music. So can you tell us who it was that won a European title with this piece of music? Blythe?
Here we go. Let's begin with artistic gymnastics, where junior European champion Elena Kola of France made a splash in her senior international debut at the World Cup in Osijek. Kola won floor exercise gold and silvers on bars and balance beam. It was a very good meet to be a European champion. Additionally, Manila Esposito of Italy earned gold on beam. Over to rhythmic, where Taisha Onofrychuk and Daria Varfolomeev were the toast of the Baku World Cup. The two split the gold medals, with Onofrychuk winning all around in hoop and Varfolomeev scooping up everything else. Stylianna Nikolova won three medals there as well. Elsewhere, Sofia Raffaelli and Tara Dragash of Italy earned two golds apiece at the World Challenge Cup in Portimão, which has been very busy hosting events of late. The Spanish group earned all around and five balls gold, and Germany surprised everybody, including themselves, by picking up the mixed apparatus title. Finally, Olympic silver medalist Georgia Vila of Italy, acrobatic World Games champion Maissa Bouche of Belgium, and French rhythmic team member Lily Raminaccio all announced their retirements this past month. All three will be much missed, but we wish them the very best in their next chapters.
Well done. Especially Blythe, that was a really deliberately frantic piece of music that I chose for you, and it just, I think, kind of lit the fire, didn't it?
Is this your way of telling me to pick up the pace a bit?
If anyone needs to be told to pick up the pace, it's me. Thank you. I'm not known for my conciseness when I commentate. Now, acrobatic gymnastics is one of the showpiece sports of the World Games. It's amazingly popular, which is not hard to see why when you watch it. Blythe, we both love acro. Why do you love acro?
I call it the dinner theatre of gymnastics. It is everything you love about the sport. You have, well, the acrobatics. You don't have apparatus. Actually, what happens in acrobatic gymnastics is there are various permutations of gymnasts using each other's bodies to do balances, throws, catches, twists, flips, all of these wonderful things. And they do it to music. So they are on essentially a floor exercise mat. There's a little bit of tumbling involved, but mostly there is artistry, there is expression, there is musical interpretation. It is the bit of this sport that comes closest to theater performance all the time.
And that was an appropriate after-dinner speech to sum up the dinner theatre of... is that what you said, dinner theatre?
The dinner theatre.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is. It's a total package. I love it as a sport. And you were actually at the World Games in Chengdu in China last year, commentating for the worldwide TV coverage, when an amazing thing happened in the men's pair event. And it was the triumph of Spain's M team, Dani Molina and Pepe Moreno.
And they had been building to that World Games for a long time. They came in as the reigning European champions. They had won in 2024 Spain's first ever world medal at the World Championships in acrobatic gymnastics. And it was an intensely close final. There were only four teams. They were one of them. They went out and performed first, I believe, and then sat and watched to see if everybody else could top them. And nobody could.
And let's hear about it all from their point of view. You sat down with them, and this is a super interview.
Dani, how much time do you spend out of your day in a handstand? I am very curious about your origin story as an acrobatic pair. Why did you choose acrobatic and why did you start working together?
Pues yo, al principio...
When I was little, I played football and I was one of the goalkeepers on the team. The other goalkeeper was going to the club I am at now, Club Dynamic. But that goalkeeper's mother saw me very restless in goal because I basically couldn't stay still. I was always doing something like acrobatics, jumping around, anything but actually playing football. So she saw me and she said, hey, why don't you try acrobatics and see how it goes? And well, from the first day, I loved it and I still do it to this day.
For me, when Dani comes to our club, in that day, I remember that day because every trainer was looking and being very nervous because, hey, there's one kid doing acrobatics really good and it's his first day. And we all was like, what's happening? And I have the remember when I go to the floor that Dani was training, he was a really, really tiny, tiny boy, but doing a handstand like a senior. And it was like very impressive to me and for everybody. And for us was amazing because he said, no, I only play football. I'm just looking for, if I like this, I will try to do gymnastics. No, you're not trying. You're doing really good gymnastics right now. So it was really funny. And I remember that the first look of Dani in my heart, it's always.
Pues...
At first, it was really hard for me to start, both physically and mentally, when it came to communicating with Pepe, because, well, in the end, it was really difficult for me. I used to be very quiet. I kept everything to myself and didn't say anything because what I did was so easy. So when it came to doing such high-level difficulties with Pepe, I didn't really know what I was doing wrong, even though, obviously, I was making mistakes. But at the beginning, Pepe always helped me, even before I started competing.
Yo creo que Dani es una persona totalmente perfeccionista.
I think Dani is a total perfectionist who loves to do things 100%. He leaves nothing undone. There's never a moment when he says, I'm going to relax. I think that's been fundamental to our growth because I have often felt I won't stay overwhelmed, but rather supported by Dani to surpass my limits. I think this is a strength of this that has helped us both grow. And as a person, I think he's one of the most affectionate people I've ever met. And I have a piece of him in my heart. He's part of my family, no matter how much we fight or yell at each other sometimes.
Para mí es parte de mi familia, por mucho que nos peleemos y por mucho que nos gritemos a veces, es parte de mi familia.
Isn't it very hard for you to, like, with everything you have to do, the acrobatics, the lifts, the throws, the catches, there's all this stuff. And then on top of it all, you have to do facial expressions. Is this very difficult to do when you are concentrating so hard on, well, all of the physical things that you need to do, the other physical things?
Pues a mí la expresión facial simplemente la tengo
Well, for me, facial expression, honestly, is what I find most difficult. It's what I found most difficult in my entire career. Everyone is always telling me, Danny, fix your face, express yourself more. Or coaches Violeta and Guillem, especially, and Pepe too. Remember the choreography, Danny, your face.
Intenté llegar lo mejor posible, intentar como ser el más expresivo facialmente.
Where does the inspiration for your routines come from?
Well, the last balance routine, there was a really deep inspiration that it was a little for our last national coach. It was Pablo that he passed away a years ago. So in the indoor balance routine, we just try to communicate the feeling of our I don't know how to say it because it's strange that the feeling that our lo diré en español, de el sentimiento de la pérdida que
The
sufrimos y
feeling of the loss we suffered and how we externalized it to be able to feel something real that made us feel the pain and at the same time that feeling of a strength that we wanted to transmit. That's our balance.
quisiera sentir ese dolor y a la vez ese sentimiento de fuerza que queríamos transmitir. Ese sería nuestro balance. He just loved gymnastics and I think he wants to just share his feeling with all of us. I stayed with Pablo in 2017 in the Europeans. And also in the last competitions we had, and he always said that we need to be a family and we need to enjoy every moment in gymnastics. So that's a good way to think in like in a national team to be part of a family. If you need to, if you want to be part of a family, you just do it and fight to do it. And so that's why I fight.
So, a world medal in 2024, then the European title in 2025, and after that came the big one, the World Games. What was that experience like for you guys?
Bueno, después de la clasificación,
Well, after the qualifying round, it was pretty clear that we were going to make it to the finals. And once we got to the finals, then obviously the goal was gold. We were going all out. I remember in the final, we were the first to go, and when we finished, I was crying. The tears wouldn't stop. I just kept crying from the emotion and the joy, and finally from the satisfaction of having finished the competition. I really just wanted to cry and jump around everywhere. And when we saw the score, we relaxed. It was a really good score. And then the other countries started going up, and I think the second pair was Azerbaijan. And we saw that they had scored a little lower than us. So we already had a medal. We already had at least bronze. And honestly, I was so nervous. And the tears kept coming. The other countries kept coming on, but they weren't beating us.
But before all of this got started, your coach did something amazing, didn't he?
Nos hizo escribir, o sea,
Our coach took out a piece of paper and wrote something on it, and he said to us, "This is the place you'll finish today." He wrote it down, but he didn't show the paper to us. He just put it in his pocket and said, "We'll all look at it later." And when everyone had finished, he said, "Okay." And he took out the piece of paper and showed it to us. It just said, "Gold medal." And I remember that moment so deeply in my heart, like my coach believed in me. This whole moment was so beautiful, and I can't even describe it in words.
Y fue algo súper bonito que no, o sea, que es que no puedo describir con palabras.
That's so beautiful. Did you keep this piece of paper?
Yeah, we keep it. I think Danny have it.
Sports Spain's M team. Thank you to friends of the podcast, Maria for translating and Albert for dubbing Pepe and Lucho for dubbing Danny. Okay, the European Championships of Rhythmic Gymnastics. Where and when are they?
Varna, Bulgaria, from the 27th to the 31st of May. Mark your calendars.
I just want to point out I do know where and when they are because I asked in a way that seemed almost confused. And I just want to reassure anyone who's going to be listening to my commentary that I am better prepared than I sounded by that question, which was a deliberate setup
for
you.
It was a setup, wasn't it? Well, thank you. A sort of podcast spot, if you want.
The Palace of Culture and Sports, that's going to be hosting it.
An absolutely gorgeous venue.
27th to 31st of May. So we've got live streaming on gymtv.online on the 27th, 28th and 29th. Then there's live worldwide TV coverage, including on Eurovision Sports. That's the 30th and 31st of May. So 30th is senior individual and group all around. 31st is all senior apparatus finals. But we'll also be commentating lots of the qualification on the live stream in the days leading up to it. And 27th is junior individual qualifications and team, 28th senior individual qualifications and junior apparatus finals, 29th senior individual qualifications.
We cannot wait. And I just want to say, if you are looking for a mid-length piece to get you in the mood for these European Championships, may I suggest that you watch the documentary Chasing Perfection Inside the Cross Battle, which is on the European Gymnastics YouTube channel. It was released about 2 weeks ago ahead of the European Cup in Baku.
Yes, and you know the European Cups very well, don't you? You are the European Cup commentator for European Gymnastics, and it's a different format.
It's a head-to-head competition in which gymnasts perform with the same piece of apparatus, and whoever gets the better score goes forward. It's a very different format for rhythmic.
And a great documentary as well to have a look at, and that will really get you set up for these European Championships. Chasing Perfection Inside the Cross Battle. Now, let's get across Tallinn 2025, which was last year's European Championships, the dawn of the one and only, she is the one and only now, Taisia Onofriechuk, who won her first major international all-around title. Stiliana Nikolova, second, third place to Daria Varfolomeyev. Stili then came out and annihilated the apparatus finals. And those of you who recognise that music from the news piece, you will know it was
her ball routine from Tallinn.
When she won the gold medal with, I think, one of the most stunning apparatus victories we've seen at the European Championships. It's on the YouTube channel, so find it. You won't regret it.
Her whole performance in that day of apparatus finals was an absolute tour de force.
That's a good word for it. Except that wasn't a word, it was a phrase. But yes, it was a good phrase for it.
Three good words.
Yes, thank you. You got me out of trouble there. She won all but ribbon, which Daria Varfolomeyev took. So what does all of that mean then for this year?
What it means is we're going to have a very close competition, I think. We have really a big four. You talked about Onofriechuk, you talked about Varfolomeyev, the Olympic champion, of course. There's Nikolova, and there's also Sofia Raffaelli, who has looked very good in World Cup competitions this year. And of course, she is the reigning world champion with the hoop. And it's going to be exciting to see who amongst the sort of newer generation can push up and challenge them. I'm looking at people like Tara Dragash of Italy, Paulina Karika of Ukraine maybe, potentially Daniela Munitz of Israel, who did win the European Cup cross battle.
Yes, that was a big statement, wasn't it, from her?
Huge.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Taisia Onofriechuk has won two of the three World Cup all-around titles this season. Is it one of the rare examples of the world and Olympic champion Daria Varfolomeyev not being the favourite? Or am I falling in... Oh, you're looking at me, I can tell. Am I falling into the classic Daria Varfolomeyev trap here? Because she turns up for the big ones, doesn't she?
That's exactly it. Often Varfolomeyev has a slightly slow start to her international season. But then, yes, you get to the European Championships and then the World Championships after that. And she sort of transforms into the very best version of herself.
Now, you can't count out the Bulgarians on home soil as well. Their individuals and their group, especially after Bulgaria missed out on any group medals at the last European Championships, they'll be throwing everything they have at this.
It was a very uncharacteristic performance from them 12 months ago in Tallinn, but we should say that that was after the Olympic break, and the Bulgarians have been building back, notably at the European Cup, where they rose up and won the cross battle. It was a Bulgaria is back kind of moment.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Huge. Yeah.
Well, look, Bulgaria loves rhythmic gymnastics. Varna is a hugely special place for the sport. It hosted the 2021 European Championships. It's hosted the World Championships. So many memories are tied up in this place. And we're lucky to have three greats of Bulgarian rhythmic gymnastics to guide us through it. We welcome Elizabeth Paisieva, Stephanie Kiriakova, and Boriana Kalain to be our voices of Varna.
It feels like a fitting conclusion to Bulgaria's hosting of these championships. A hugely successful hosting. These gymnasts know Varna so well. Some of them call it home. But for all of them, it's a place where they train in preparation for major competitions. Well, this time they trained and competed here.
Hello. My name is Elizabeth Paisieva, a Bulgarian former rhythmic gymnast. Participated in two Olympic Games, Athens 2004 and Beijing 2008. Rhythmic gymnastics is more popular than football right now in Bulgaria. Everyone, it's really, maybe it was always very, very popular, but right now, because rhythmic gymnastics has a lot of results, it's really like in the heart of everyone. For me, it's a very vivid memory, the World Cup 2004, actually, right before the Olympic Games in Athens. I had a very good competition, and even now I have goosebumps when I remember, because the public was so amazing. It's also, in one way, very responsible, because you feel a very big, of course, a pressure. You want to show at home that you're doing good, you're doing your best, you're performing on your best, because everyone, of course, expects, like, fans and, of course, the sports people. The rhythmic gymnastics is so big in Bulgaria that everyone is, like, burning and expecting, like, how they're doing. Like, even the taxi drivers, they're listening and they're asking, how our girls did? Were they good today?
Hello everyone, this is Stephanie Kiriakova from Bulgaria. I am a European, World and Olympic champion in rhythmic gymnastics from Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games with the Bulgarian group team. The European Championship in Varna was just maybe 2 months before the Olympics, and that was the last competition in front of Bulgarian audience. So we were just hoping for the best and to do a very, very strong competition before the Olympics. But we did a very big mistake in the qualifications, in the mixed routine. And I remember we were just very, very broken and sad. We were without medal. So that was a very hard first days of the competition, and the president of the federation, Miss Raiva, said that she wanted to see us after the competition, and we just knew maybe she's gonna go hard on us, and we were prepared for that because we felt like that was a big fail in front of the Bulgarian audience and everyone. But what happened was she invited us at this very nice hotel to have a nice dinner and some wine. So we were in shock. Like, she was in a very good mood, like we were celebrating something, but at the same time we were in a big shock, like what's happening. But she just managed to relax everything in us. We had to do, each of us, including the coaches, had to do a toast for something that we want in the future and that we believe it will happen. So it was like so magical. We were watching the sea from Varna, and it was like celebrating the Olympics even before they happened. And it was very, things like that don't happen in rhythmic gymnastics. I mean, you're always on the gas pedal, and when you fail, it's not a good thing. So this was very exciting for us. And I remember that helped us a lot in the next day. At the next day, at the finals, we did some of our strongest routines like ever. It was just, everything was brilliant, and I just remember that was a very, very important moment for us. Looking at the sea at Varna was just a place and a time for dreaming. Yes, I believe that night we dreamed about the gold medal and everything, and just being together and in a good mood made us believe that everything is possible. It was just a very important moment.
I'm Brianna Colleen. I'm ex-rhythmic gymnast now, a vice Olympic champion from the Olympic Games in Paris.
Such effervescent, creative, elegant, impassioned gymnastics from Brianna Colleen to bring to a close this all-around final. Well, we know from that reaction, oh, it's silver!
I think this was the first step of me achieving like big results in the big sport. This was my first all-around medal from European Championship. Later, I did it again in the Tel Aviv European Championship next year. But it was like my first step in the big gymnastics, so I think it played a big role in my career. As a Bulgarian, rhythmic gymnastic for me, like this sport gives me a lot of proud. I'm proud to be Bulgarian, I'm proud to be a rhythmic gymnast and to compete for this country.
For me and for Bulgaria, I believe rhythmic gymnastics is unity.
Rhythmic gymnastics means for Bulgarian people a golden legacy.
Three Bulgarian greats with three great stories. Back to the present day and the groups in Varna, which I think is a harder picture maybe to be clear on, because this is the start of a new three-year cycle of group apparatus. So it might make the results from last year's Euros, which was a one-year cycle of apparatus combinations, a bit harder to hang your hat on.
Now, if you're Spain, you'll be hoping that that is not the case.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
But I think there is more than one team that is not sorry to see the five ribbons go away.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Yes, that was a tricky combination, wasn't it? But Spain, yes, you're quite right. They were amazing last year. All three gold medals. And then we had six different nations winning the six remaining silver and bronze medals, which was amazing. So it's made it all as clear as mud, frankly, for this year, hasn't it?
Just like we like it.
Yeah. Spain and Israel, nonetheless?
Oh, Spain and Israel have proven themselves as competitors any time of the year.
Yeah, they've been good in the World Cups and World Challenge Cups this season.
You can't leave out Ukraine as well.
Yes.
The reigning world champions with the mixed apparatus. A huge moment for them, and they'll be looking to carry that on. They've got a lot of veterans on their team.
Well, it's one of life's great pleasures, isn't it, watching a Ukrainian group do rhythmic gymnastics with just big music, big choreography, big themes, big style.
So much style. They give out a kind of vibe as much as they tell a story.
Now, before we go, let's step away from rhythmic for a moment and look back to last month's European Championships of Trampoline in Portugal, which was an amazing competition. but one where one particular man did something breathtaking. Blythe, who was that man? What did that man do?
We are, of course, talking about Portugal's Vasco Peixu, who did, wait for it, a quad-twisting double layout. Words that I cannot believe that I am saying. All in that order.
I can't believe you identified it correctly final. When he did it.
I give myself a few extra tenths for execution on that. It was one of those where you could see what he did into the pass, actually. He begins with a Miller, which is actually a triple twisting double layout, and that invented by the great trampoline gymnast Wayne Miller back in the 1960s. Anyway, I digress. Vasco did a Miller through to what they call a killer in tumbling. That is the quad twisting double layout. I've heard it also called Miller Plus, but he says that he and his contemporaries call it a killer. Miller through to killer.
My head hurts.
I know. It's okay.
A Miller to a killer. It was a thriller. And one of the things that we like to do on the podcast is dig deep technically to find out the anatomy of a skill, if you will. So here is Vasco Peixu in his own words.
He's not afraid to take risks. Miller laid out. It's great.
Challenge laid down. Challenge accepted. Vasco Peixu. He looks like he can't believe that he just did that.
The moment that I landed, it was unreal. The main thought that came to my mind was, oh my God, I can't believe that I made it. Because I wasn't supposed to do it. The reaction was mainly because I couldn't believe that I actually landed it. I started doing this skill, the killer, in 2023. But I never thought that I could have, like, included in with a Miller transition. And ever since I started like practicing and doing it at during trainings, I thought, maybe, okay, this is possible. This is possible. And in 2024, that's when I first landed it at the Coimbra World Cup that year, and I placed second. And that was probably the biggest moment of my life, because I never thought that could be possible for me. Going to this Europeans to this year's European Championships, I was not feeling very confident with my killer dismounts. I was planning to do Miller to triple pike on the final two, but I still continued to practice my killer dismounts because I had a feeling that at some point I was probably going to need it. During final one, I was supposed to do Miller tuck to triple tuck because I wanted to do the Miller straight to triple pike during final two. But after Magnus and after Tofik, after they did their passes, I thought, okay, maybe this wasn't enough to being able to finish in the top four. So my coaches said, you need to do the triple pike. And I did Miller tuck to triple pike. And I was able to make it into the top four. But since I did the triple pike in the final one, I wasted that skill and I wasn't able to do it again. So I had two options. I could settle for bronze in doing the stretch of triple tuck, or I can just go all in and risk it all and do a Miller to killer pass. I stepped onto the runway. I saluted, and I decided, okay, let's see how the transition goes. I think it's way harder to control a transition coming out of three twists, because you need to have the power and the spatial awareness in where you are in the air, and what is the right timing to hit the track. You don't need to be perfect, but you need to be just. It needs to be good enough to do a plausible and competitive skill at the end. And I decided mid pass, okay, I'm going for it. I cannot see anything during a killer dismount, but I know where I am 100% of the time. That's why during the killer, I thought I was going to land on my face, but I still decided to go through with it, because I knew that there was a possibility. there's a small chance that I could land it, even though I thought to myself, okay, this is going to be a major fail. I landed with my feet, and my arm was so close to the mat. I really was scared that the judges were going to like count it as a crash. But I didn't touch it. That's why I screamed a lot, because I knew that I didn't touch it. I would do it again. I would still do it, and even if it meant ended up with a silver medal, because that's my favorite path of all time. And it means something. It means different. It hits you different.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for in this episode, but we are off to Varna next week for the European Championships of Rhythmic Gymnastics. So if you see us there, come up and say hello.
Throw tomatoes at the commentary position.
Yes, please do. Blythe will duck, they'll hit me. That's what you'll be aiming for, I'm sure. Get in touch with us on social media. How can people do that, Blythe?
By going to the European Gymnastics social media channels.
It's that simple, and it's that much fun having your company. We really appreciate you listening to the podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in Varna, seeing you around, and having your company for the next episode of the European Gymnastics podcast.